ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Have you ever thought about the future? Not tomorrow or next year, but what life might look 60 years from now? It's actually really hard, and we know that because 60 years ago, we asked people to try.
You all commute daily and hourly so fast through space in your private flying saucers.
Global peace and international harmony will be completely attained by the year 2000.
So will our predictions be just as wrong? I'm Matt Bevan, and from If You're Listening, this is Black Swans, a special series about why it's so hard to predict the future. It's available now on ABC Listen.
The Albanese government has passed its gun reforms and its watered-down hate laws after a very late-night sitting of the Senate. And while the passage of the bills was successful, it was far from a unifying moment that the government was hoping for. Some Nationals and even a Liberal senator crossed the floor to vote against the hate law bill, despite the Liberal Party supporting the laws. That's pretty messy given they're meant to vote together. And now questions are swirling about whether shadow ministers who defied conventions will be forced to resign. So it started as a difficult week potentially for the government and now ends with Susan Lee in hot water again. Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis.
And I'm David Spears.
David, our first podcast together for the year. Happy New Year to you. We can still say that.
We can.
Before Australia Day. I always say before Australia Day, you're allowed to
say that. I think that's fine. What a quiet summer, January it's been to PK.
Yeah, like from terror attacks to actually literal shark attacks, like this country and fires. This country has gone through it all. Now, you're keeping the 7:30 host chair warm on a really big political week, so it's perfect to pick your brain. So the bills are passed, David. The bills have gone through the Senate, but not without a little bit of drama.
Yes, just a little bit of drama. So the drama now is on the coalition side, and worth reminding people that, yes, it's been a very messy month since the Bondi attack for Anthony Albanese and for the government. But right now, this week in the Parliament, it's been the coalition which has been, I guess, the messy side of politics. So you had the Nationals voting against the hate speech bill. And we can get to the nuts and bolts of the bill. This is the bill to give the minister the power to ban hate groups. Look, we can step through what happened over the 2 days of Parliament. There was no joint party room meeting for the coalition, Liberals and Nationals all in one room. There was only one, my understanding, one shadow cabinet meeting on Sunday night, but there wasn't one after that on the Monday or the Tuesday. And this, I think, has contributed to the confusion. The Nationals decided late last night to vote against the hate speech bill. The Liberals agreed to vote for it. So you then had three members of the shadow cabinet, Bridget McKenzie, Susan MacDonald and Ross Cadell, who sit in the Senate, voting no on this hate speech bill, while Liberals were voting yes. Now, as you point out, the convention is shadow cabinet should stick together. But was there an agreed shadow cabinet position? Liberals are saying yes, there was. Some Nationals that I've been talking to are saying, well, it was less clear than that. They didn't at any point have a moment on that Sunday night when things were still in flux, going back and forth with the government saying, here's our position. They'd agreed to make more demands and see what Labor said and so on. That confusion then allowed the Nationals to make this position late last night to say, no, we're voting no. And that's what those three shadow cabinet Nationals in the Senate did. Question is, should they now be sacked, PK? And this is a tough one for Susan Lee. If she sacks these three, Nationals I've spoken to have said, well, more will follow them out the door. There'll be more resignations of Nationals from shadow cabinet because this was the agreed position. Even from those who, were reluctantly prepared to vote yes for it, they accept the National Party room decided on Tuesday to vote no. And that's what these three shadow ministers did. So if Susan Lee sacks them, it'll buy a bigger problem. I would suspect she won't do that because it could rupture the coalition again. But you're then left with the situation of having your own shadow ministers voting against the Liberal Party's position, at least, and what Liberals believe was the shadow, the coalition, the shadow cabinet position. And we're not talking about a small matter here, PK. This is a national security matter. If they can't stick together on something like that, you know, can they really be trusted to be a united team in government?
So we're recording on a Wednesday morning, and Webster, who is the Shadow Minister for Regional Development, Local Government and Territories, so in the Nationals, says, I understand the leader of the Nationals, David Littleproud, is in discussions with the leader of the opposition, Susan Lee, on where we stand. As we did, this is the key bit that I want us to analyse, as we did after the election when the Liberals wouldn't stand by our regionally focused policy positions, we took a step back from being in the coalition and the Liberals understood the strength of our convictions for regional Australians. We are not afraid to do it again.
So that is exactly the sentiment that I'm talking about here that I've been picking up privately this morning.
We are not afraid to do it again.
We're back to splitting the coalition.
Over this, guys? Over this?
Yeah, over, of all things, hate speech laws in the wake of the Bondi attack. You know, you think from Anthony Albanese, he stood up for a press conference this morning, kept his hubris in check, I think, but you can understand him thinking, I've just been through the ringer for the last 4 weeks over this issue. Now, look at the coalition. They're on the brink of breaking up again. As I say, I'll be surprised if they do. I think those two leaders meeting signals they want to find a way through this. And I think, you know, if one strong possibility is they say, look, Labor's rushed process amid this climate of chaos where, you know, we simply didn't have the time to reach a united position on this, and that's what happened. I'm not saying that's an ideal answer here. It's not. The coalition should be able to stick together at the shadow cabinet level. No problem for backbenchers to cross the floor in the coalition. That happens all the time. No one's going to bat an eyelid at that. But the shadow cabinet should be able to stick together on a matter of national security, and they didn't. It was a rushed process. There weren't enough shadow cabinet meetings. There wasn't any joint party room meeting for the whole coalition. And all of these are factors as to, you know, why they've ended up where they are.
So let's move to the implications of all of that, because it matters before we get to the actual laws and what it means for the government too, how the government ends the week. So basically Susan Lee set up the contest, if you like, because it was, and I use the term deliberately, after the Bondi terror attack, there wasn't sort of a suspension of politics. There was an amping up of politics. It was very politicised. Many on her side think too politicised. So there is internal critique that it was too politicised. She set it up as all this pressure on the government. Come back, rush, make the laws. Mm-hmm. And now has ended the emergency two-day sitting in a weaker position than she went in demanding.
Correct.
That's deeply problematic.
Yeah, there was, you know, the thumping of the lectern, the demands for urgent parliamentary sitting. There was even talk of bringing her own draft legislation to the parliament. That hasn't happened. The whole impression was, we know what needs to happen and the government doesn't. We're willing to pass laws, the government isn't. Yet here we are, a month on, parliament has sat, and it's been the other way round. The government's had to water down its hate speech laws to accommodate the coalition. And even then, you've had the coalition split on this. They've been divided on what to do. They've not been unified on what to do. So all of that is a problem. And then when you zoom out from what we're actually talking about here, the legislative response to Bondi, politically, this is another example of the big problem Susan Lee and the coalition face, PK, and that is the pressure on the right from One Nation. I don't think we can ignore that context. You know, Nationals are trying to play down all of that and suggest that, no, it's all fine, they're not panicking. But what happened this week, with One Nation railing against these hate speech laws, the Nationals have also followed One Nation into voting no. You know, Matt Canavan, I think, played a pivotal role here in articulating his concerns with it, making it clear he was not going to vote for it. I think all of that has, you know, shifted the sentiment within the Nationals, and it's meant this split in the coalition on the vote. This is, when you zoom out, that the problem Susan Lee is facing is this pressure from the right, from One Nation in particular.
Yeah, and that pressure really frames all of the antics and positioning you saw this week. It is the overall prism in which they're operating. I said we'd talk about the government. It's important we do. They went in to this sitting two-day period with a very different piece of legislation on hate laws, but they pivoted, and I think my own assessment, I want to hear what you think, is recovered quite well. I think the Prime Minister made the right call backing down, even though it was not his ideal position to have to back down, but on the Saturday, and then drafting a new piece of legislation that could be plausible and passed so that he could walk out saying that he'd achieved something, And that sends a strong message to Australians that he's taking it seriously. How do you see it?
Yeah, I agree. I think that back down, you know, had to be done. The idea that you could have one omnibus bill with everything from gun laws to racial vilification and the rest of it, the migration changes and the extra powers for the minister and so on, all of that in one bill was always problematic. Breaking it up to get through what he could was necessary. Yes, I agree. He's absolutely finished this brief parliamentary sitting in a much stronger position than he was. I don't think, you know, that's necessarily going to see him recover his political stocks immediately. We saw in all the polls this week that he's taken a hit over the summer after Bondi. That may take some time to recover. But, you know, what we've seen in the House is once again Anthony Albanese's, some would call it cunning ability to use parliamentary process to get through something. He has managed to get through both the firearms and the hate speech legislation. He's seen his opponents divided once again, and he's, you know, at least able to say that he's the one who's acted on more of what Gillian Siegel, the anti-Semitism envoy, recommended than the coalition. He's the one who's had legislation passed through the parliament.
Yeah, the overwhelming story here is whatever pressure he might be under, the own goal of the coalition's infighting and broader issues means that, you know, I was speaking to one coalition MP this week, for instance, who was saying to me, you know, you never interrupt your opponent when they're, what's that amazing saying? You help
well,
me.
Yeah, when they're
you
tearing know. Themselves
yeah,
apart.
Yeah, like, you know, and that's what's happened here. There's been constant interruptions. The coalition's been constantly in the kind of headlines over all of this. Why? Why, when the Prime Minister was under so much pressure? Politically, you can't work out how anyone would think that was a smart idea.
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons why, just to try and answer that question. One is firearms, you know, tougher gun laws is so problematic for the Nats, particularly when they're under such pressure from this emboldened One Nation that now includes Barnaby Joyce. You know, they were never going to vote for that. And the Libs, I don't think, wanted to have a split over that. Then you've got the hate speech law, and this has always been contentious within the coalition, but particularly amongst free speech, libertarian, liberals. So these were really problematic issues when it came to the crunch, and that's why you've seen this division. Now, that's not to say that the parliament's landed on the perfect outcome here. I think we probably will only see in practice how workable these hate speech laws are. They're not all that the government wanted. The racial vilification element had to be dropped out. Where they've landed on the hate groups law that's now passed is going to be really interesting to see in practice and whether it holds up in the High Court, because, you know, you and Raph were talking about this on the pod yesterday, PK. There's a reason why, you know, hate speech laws have been so difficult to legislate for decades. Drawing that line between stopping hate speech and allowing free speech has proven incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it is really difficult. I still think, though, you know, when the Prime Minister said, and he's been pressed on this a couple of times, including in his press conference this morning, on Wednesday morning, about why he wouldn't pursue the broader laws that he originally wanted or a version of them, his answer, I thought, was actually really compelling. And it's this. He says, if we couldn't convince people after Bondi, right, the worst terror attack in the country, to deal with this issue, then when is it really going to happen? Now, the next kind of juncture that I see, of course, is the Royal Commission and its recommendations, which might go to these areas very clearly. But again, that doesn't mean just because a Royal Commission says to do it. We know this. This is the sort of fantasy land of Royal Commissions. They can tell you lots of things. We are sitting on thousands of recommendations across many Royal Commissions that governments do nothing about all the time. Do you think it's going to create a new sort of inflection point where we're going to see these laws being passed? I don't see it.
Look, I think there's a point there, right? There's a point there that, yeah, if you can't do it now after what happened at Bondi, you know, what difference is a Royal Commission recommendation going to make? I accept that's a point. Within Labor, though, there is a pretty strong view that they do need to come back to this, and they will use any Royal Commission recommendation. They will use Gillian Siegel is expected to give an annual report where she may come back to this, or, God forbid, PK, if there's another anti-Semitic attack, that's when this will come back again, is the view amongst Labor MPs that, you know, that want to see this happen, that if there is another incident, this issue will come back in force. And there's also a view in Labor that it can't just be what was put forward by Anthony Albanese this week, last week, targeting racial vilification only, that it needs to be broader. It needs to include religion. It needs to include disability. It needs to include sexuality. And I think the Greens would probably be up for that. So if there's a mood within Labor that they do need to come back with a broader hate speech law here that the Greens would be on board for, maybe the pressure will build on Anthony Albanese to do something. Now, whether that's triggered by the Royal Commission, by Gillian Siegel putting some additional pressure on, or, as I say, the worst scenario, another anti-Semitic attack, I don't think it's gone away.
The issue has absolutely not gone away, right? The underlying issue is huge. We've had not only the terror attack, but there was a report out of Melbourne about young boys being harassed on the street by a car. That was an anti-Semitic harassment.
It was pretty frightening vision, you know. That
I found that chilling.
Yeah, you know, despite all that we've talked about for the last month, all that the nation has been focusing on, and that's happening still. It sort of underscores the need for action, the need for more to be done.
The issue has absolutely not gone away, right? The underlying issue is huge. Just finally, David, tomorrow, so that's Thursday, is the National Day of Mourning. So it's the official day where we will mark what has been a horrific and unspeakable act that's taken 15 lives, but, you know, as we say, damaged so many more. It is a moment, I think, to show unity. I've spoken to people in the parliament, like senior people, who say that the one really sad thing about all of this, beyond the death and destruction, but on a political level, is that the country has been so, it's been so fractious and negative at a time when I think people are just looking for some togetherness. Maybe tomorrow will provide it.
Maybe we get a day of that unity.
I hope so. I think people are really frustrated.
No, it has been absolutely missing. Look, you know, yes, as the PM points out, it's true that we didn't see this sort of political acrimony after Port Arthur, after the Lind Cafe siege and so on. This issue, though, has been different. There were politics all over this issue of anti-Semitism before what happened at Bondi. What we've seen, though, over the last month and certainly over the last few days with Parliament sitting has been a demonstration of just how politically toxic, this issue has become. I think, yeah, tomorrow, National Day of Mourning, perhaps we get a respite from the politics of it all. But an opportunity for everybody, I suppose, to reflect on the scale of this problem, but more particularly the loss that so many face there in Bondi.
And that's it for politics now today. David, it's lovely to be reunited, even if it's a sort of sombre topic. I think it's really important that we talk it through. Thank you.
Thanks, BK.
Tomorrow I'll be reunited with Frank Kelly for the Party Room. And if you have a question for us, send them a short voice note, is our favourite, to the party room at abc.net.au. I'll see you tomorrow.